Welcome back once again to the Temple Baptist Church Youth Group Podcast. Today we're talking about Genesis chapters 11 through 13. We're actually dealing with God's covenant with Abraham today. And the life question that I want to ask you, what is it that God will call you to do? We're going to talk a little bit about that today and more. Stick around. Thank you for joining us again this week. This message was originally delivered to the youth of Temple Baptist Church on Wednesday, May 24th, 2006. If you are listening to us for the first time today, I just wanted to let you know that you can contact us. If you want to visit our website, you can go to www.tbcsullivan.com. Or if you'd like to email me, you could email me at craig@tbcsullivan.com. If you are a member of the Temple Baptist Church Youth Group, or if you're in our area and you're in grades 7th through the 12th, then I have a little bit of news for you. First of all, I want to announce to you the car wash. We're having a youth car wash on June the 3rd, and this is to raise money for our mission trip. Remember to continue to get your donations in. And those of you that are listening, if you want to come out and get your car washed, you can get your car washed for free on June the 3rd, and we're also selling barbecue. So if you are hungry that day and you want to come out and have some lunch, come down, join us. We'll be at Bartolotta's Car Lot in Sullivan, Missouri. And if you pass through on Highway 44, you'll be able to see the car lot right off the highway. Come on over, get your car washed, have some lunch. I also want to remind our teenagers that the mission trip this year is to Mobile, Alabama, and we'll be gone from June the 7th through the 15th. Don't forget to ask off for work. Get your mission trip deposit in. Let me know you're going. Invite a few friends, and then we'll go out and to Mobile on the 7th. I want to start by quickly talking to you a little bit about some youth trends, kind of what I see happening in youth ministry today. Obviously, youth ministry today is a completely different ballgame than it was even 5, 6, 7 years ago. And part of that reason is because of busyness. We get so busy. And teenagers, I know you have so many things that you can do and be involved in, and there's so many school activities and work and all of these things that you can do and get involved in and be a part of. And it tends to cause us to get so busy that we don't have time for God, we don't have time for church or anything else. And what always amazes me is if there's 168 hours in the week, and only 3 hours out of the week, the church doors are open for you to come and be together with other Christians and to learn more about God. It always amazes me that out of 168 hours, a lot of people never can make it for those 3 hours. They're always busy doing something else. And can we not make time for God? And I know that a lot of you say, well, I have sports this, and I have something to do with sports, I have something to do with school, there's something going on, and I can't make it for this, I can't make it for that. And it ends up where the trend that is going on now is that youth and teenagers are missing for weeks at a time. We're not talking, you know, miss 1 week, come the next couple of weeks, miss another week or whatever. We're talking about missing 7 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 15 weeks before coming back on a Wednesday night, and then come back for maybe 2 weeks and then miss another 5, 6, 7, 10 weeks, however that goes. That is kind of a trend that is being set, where we get so busy that we just don't have time for church. And if you ever, you know, look around and wonder, why am I not growing? Why don't I have a close relationship with God? Well, when we spend so much time in the world and so much time doing other things that we can't even devote 3 or 4 hours a week to God, we're in trouble. And students, I want you to know that busyness equals shallowness. The more busy you are, the less time that you can devote to God, the more shallow you are going to be. You're going to be a shallow Christian that can barely be used by God. The other problem in this trend is that these same teenagers who are missing 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks in a row are the same teenagers who say, yes, I am devoted to God, or I am a devoted Christian. And it is as if they don't understand that to miss that many times, to not spend time with God, means you're not devoted to God at all. And see, this is the problem. They can miss all of this time and still think that they're devoted to God, and they still think that they're okay. And we're telling you that you are not. The less time you spend with God, the less time you spend doing other things, the more busy you are, the more shallow you will be. And a shallow Christian will not be able to determine what's right and wrong. A shallow Christian is not going to be able to hear what God has to say to them or be called by God. And that is the issue. Why is it that so many teenagers say, you know, I just never hear God speak to me, or I don't know what God's doing, and I don't know how to hear God? It's because we're so busy and we're so far away from Him that our ears are not open to God at all. Christianity and your relationship with God takes far, far more time and devotion than many other things in our life. And that is the problem. We've gotten to be a people and a society that needs things really quick. And most of you know the feeling. You go to school and, you know, you have a test this Friday. You haven't studied all week long. And so it's Thursday night at like 11 o'clock and you decide, well, I need to study. And so you just cram it all in real quick and go the next day and take the test. And you think you're okay. You pass. You get through school and everything's fine. Christianity doesn't work that way. You can't just like cram it all in at the last minute and say, okay, God, I'm a good Christian now. That's not the way it works. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes devotion, and most people are not willing to give that much energy into Christianity or religion, and that's why they're so shallow and so weak. You want to know why you don't hear from God, or you don't hear God's voice, or you don't feel God's calling in your life, or you feel so far away from Him? It's because you don't give Him any of your time. If you can't find time to come to church during the week, if you can't find time to do your quiet time and open your Bible and read it and pray, and you can't find time for God, then why would you expect God to be speaking to you, and why would you expect all of these blessings to be happening in your life, and why would you even dare call yourself a devoted Christian? To be devoted to something is to mean that you have such a desire for something that you are willing to sacrifice things in your life to get that. Think about sports. A lot of people who are devoted to playing sports are willing to sacrifice everything else in their life and their time in order to practice day after day after day in order to be good at a sport, and they're devoted to it, and they're devoted to their team. When their team loses, they feel bad, and when they win, they feel excited, and they cheer and shout, and it's a great thing. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the Bible says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to it. This is something that they did, they wanted to do, they desired, and they did these things. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Not because they were people who were busy doing everything else in life. God didn't add to their numbers because they were popular. God didn't add to their numbers because they were just good people. He added to their numbers, and people were saved around them because they were devoted to Him. And I want to ask you today, are you a devoted Christian? Or do you find yourself missing weeks at a time, not reading your Bible for long periods of time, not praying to God? If you don't do those things, you aren't devoted to God. And really, you shouldn't expect or demand great and awesome things to happen in your life from a God you very rarely talk to or see. In Genesis, we find a story of a man named Abram. And this is a man who basically made some choices in his life, and we kind of see what happened because of the choices that he made. In Genesis chapter 12, we see that one day God came to Abraham, and this is what God said: "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you." That's it. And that is all that God said. God came to him, he gave him a command, and then it was up to Abraham to follow that command. And notice that God didn't give Abram all of the details of his move. He didn't tell him where he was going. He didn't tell him anything about it. He just said, "Look, leave your family, leave your possessions, get up and go and follow me." And I think about our lives today, we have so many things going on and so much stuff that we're involved in, that if God were to go to us and say, look, I want you to get up and I want you to go somewhere and I want you to do this and I want you to do that, we would probably have to say, God, you know what? I'm too busy. I can't do that. I can't be a part of what you want me to do because I am way too busy. I got all this stuff going on. I don't even have time to go to church, much less do what you want me to do, God. But in this situation, Abram did exactly what God said. He responded to God's call by leaving his family, leaving his home, packing up, and going. And he did what God said that he should do, and he trusted God. He had faith in God that God had some better plan for him, something greater than what he already had going. Now this is what God said to Abram in Genesis chapter 12. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Isn't that amazing that through one single act of obedience, God blessed all peoples on the earth? Not just one or two people, but all peoples on the earth. And have you ever stopped to think that if you were obedient to God, that would actually affect other people around you? You see, a lot of times we don't even think about that. We do our own thing, we're in our own world, and we have this kind of tunnel vision that focuses only on what we want and only on our own things. And we never think outside of ourselves, but understand that everything that we do in life affects other people. Whether you are sinning in life, whether you disobey God or don't even believe in God, whatever you do in life, you're affecting other people around you. Just think that students, teenagers, who are obedient to God and follow God's word and want to live a righteous and pure life can be teenagers who God blesses the world through. Now you might think of yourself and you think, there's no way God's going to do something like that through me. That's just a lie that the devil's trying to tell you. Because God can do some awesome and powerful things through you if you let him. If you are obedient to him, if you follow him. One single act of obedience, God blessed all peoples. What can God do through you? Of course, there's something else we're going to find about Abram's life, and that is his faith wasn't perfect. Though he believed in God and trusted God, there were some times that his faith faltered. And you're going to understand that as a Christian, there's going to be some times in our life where our faith is going to falter, and we're going to mess up, and we're going to have some problems, and we're not going to trust in God. And you kind of see that happening in Abram's life. Look with me at Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20. The Bible says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman, and when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious disease on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarah. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. What have you done to me? He said. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. The Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. So what is Abram's problem? Well, first of all, when the famine came, what did he do? He left Canaan, where God had told him to go, and he went down to Egypt. Didn't necessarily trust God to provide. He had to go and try to provide for himself. And then when he got down there, he realized he had a beautiful wife, so he coached his wife to lie. And when his wife lied, the Pharaoh took her as his wife and thought that she was Abram's sister. And then God cursed Pharaoh because of it. So all of these things were happening because of Abram's lack of faith in God. He didn't trust God to do some things. And so when your faith falters and fails, there's things that happen in our life that still, again, you see how it affects other people. other people around us are affected by the decisions we make and our decisions not to trust in God. However, you also see that God did not forsake Abram. In fact, he helped him through the situation, led him out of it, and got him back on track, in spite of Abram's lack of faith. So you see, Abram, of course, obeyed God and followed God. Yet in the midst of following God, there were some times that he faltered and failed. And in the middle of that, God again stayed with him, helped him, and led him through it. You see, God had a plan and a purpose for Abram, just like he has a plan and a purpose for your life and my life and the people's lives around us. And it is when we get in tune with that understanding, when we get in tune with the fact that God has a purpose for us, and we begin to live our lives in such a way that we reflect God's purpose, then and only then do we become Christians who not only rely on God and follow God, but Christians who are what I like to call magnetic Christians. You know how a magnet will cling to another. Well, people with the Spirit of God moving in their life are people who other folks around them begin to cling to. And think about that. Are you a magnetic Christian? Are you a person that other people hang out with and want to be like and hang around? There are a lot of students in our youth group who I know have a large following of friends, but the problem is they don't follow God. They rarely come to church. They rarely do the things that they know they should do. And the consequence of that is their friends don't come and their friends don't follow God, when I know that all they would have to do is get on fire for the Lord and start following God and being obedient to Him, and all of their friends would come too. But they don't see that or understand that. You see, most of the time we look at our friends and say, we need to be like them, instead of trying to say, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus and be like Him, and maybe the people around me will follow me for a change. We don't think like that. But it's time that we begin to change our thinking. Let the Word of God change the way you think. Okay, so let's wrap this up. We see a man named Abram who follows the call of God. Even though he doesn't know where God is taking him, he just goes anyway. And in doing so, he's obedient to God, and God promises to bless all the peoples of the world through him because of his obedience. Of course, in the middle of it, he has some issues and some problems, but he gets through those, and those are worked out, and God continues to stay with him and to bless him in his life. And then you see him get back on track. He goes back to the land which God has promised him. And just like God calls Abram, God calls us, you and me. If there's anything you get out of this message today, listen to this and get this. God has a purpose for your life, a plan. He has something for your life, and it is far greater than anything that you could possibly imagine. It's far greater than anything you could do or be or think on your own. If you go throughout this life and you search to be the very best on everything that you possibly do, but you don't follow God and God's plan, there is something greater that you will never get or never touch or never see, because it is something that you can't get on your own. You see, God has this greater purpose for us, and maybe what you have in your life is good, but it's not what is best. God has what's best, and when we follow God, when we are obedient to God, we see that we are blessed, and also people around us are blessed. How many of your friends could be saved? How many of your family members could be saved? How many people around you could flock to God because of your obedience to Him? But let's look at the other side of that. How many people falter? How many people fall away from God? How many people don't know God because of your disobedience? Maybe right now God is just calling you to give some time to Him. You see, God works in stages. He doesn't just like give you this big, huge plan all of a sudden, but He makes sure that you're faithful with the small things before He gives you the bigger things. And maybe God's just calling you to give Him a little bit more of your time. Maybe you need to go to church more. Maybe you need to read your Bible more or pray more. Maybe you need to be a better witness. Maybe there's some other things that God's calling you to do. And when you are obedient to those things, then God not only blesses, but then even greater opportunities come along. I want you to take an opportunity today to pray to God and ask God, Lord, please let me know. Help me to see and understand where I am messing up in my life, where I'm faltering, where I'm failing. And Lord, do I need to give you more time? Do I need to give you more of myself? Whatever it is, show that to me, God. And if you know that there's something more in your life that you need to give to God, tell that to him. Say, God, I know this area of my life I need to give over to you. I need to hand that over to you, and I need your help. Please help me, Lord. Please help me, God. And I tell you what, God promises that he hears our prayers, and I know that if you seek after him today, God is going to do some great and mighty things in your life because he has a plan for you and a purpose for you. But remember, it involves time and energy and focus. And that's what Christianity is all about. When you don't have time for God, when you don't have time for church, and when you don't have time to read and pray and to do the things that a Christian should do, then you will never be the mature Christian God wants you to be. You will never see the great things that God has in store for you. What is it that you need to change in your life? You do that today. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for the students and for the people that are listening to this podcast today. I pray, God, that you would bless them, that you would lead them and guide them, Father, but most of all, that you would convict them of the things, Lord, that maybe they're lacking in life. Maybe they don't have enough time for you, or maybe there's some other things going on in their life, Father, that is leading them away from you. And God, I pray that you would not only convict them of it, but give them the strength to change the way they live, to change the way their lives are, that they might live a greater life for you and focused on you and obedient to you, Lord. And I know that you have a great and awesome plan for their life and for the lives of the people around them, Father. And I know that they could do some great things for you. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, lead them and guide them. Lord, shape us and mold us to make us more and more like your Son, Jesus. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us for the podcast today. I hope you'll join us again next week as we continue our discussion in Genesis.